Scripture reading for this evening is again from the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lined with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, Thou shalt call me my Father, and shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Congregation, the first part of this chapter 1 through 14 is a call to repentance. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice. Turn. Shuv is that. Turn. Convert. O black backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. It's a call to repentance. And now the part of the promises start. For I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. Now, how will God, by his promises, apply the truth? Conversion and faith in Christ. Well, the first thing we see is, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God applies his truth by preaching and by his Spirit to give knowledge and understanding. These are the means. Faith is by the preaching of the word. And they are not only preachers, they are pastors, bringing them to the green meadows and the still waters to feed them, their poor souls to salvation. And we see that preaching will be, now, since Pentecost, see, it's a promise here, but we know that the promise is fulfilled. And he says, and it shall come to pass when you will be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, they shall no more say the Ark of the Covenant. So, what does it mean? Ceremonial law will be also fulfilled. Preaching is the ministry of redemption. Preaching is the ministry of redemption. Under the preaching of law and gospel, the blood of Christ is poured to the souls of his people. Preaching is the ministry of redemption. It's a priestly office, not only prophetic, it's priestly too. And they will no more remember the ark, let's say, the whole ceremonial law. They won't even remember it anymore. Christ is the fulfillment of all the types, of all the sacrifices. He is the body. And when the body is there, the shades will be taken away. They won't remember it anymore, out of the fullness of him who came. And then we'll see that God will convert the Jews, but he will bring them back to the inheritance of the fathers. 1948 started. There are good days to be expected. And I will, those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, that's Europe, and where they might be scattered all over the world, to the land which I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. Now that promise is fulfilled, but conversion has to happen still. But see, we shouldn't only abide with the Jews, because the conversion of the heathens are no different than the conversion of the Jews. Some look today only to the Jews, and you shouldn't. Israel is a spiritual name. All Israel will be saved, of Jew and heathen. A well congregation. And then you have a question, and I'm going through the texts. And then you have a question, how will it happen? How will it be applied? Well, the Lord says, how? Now, that's wonderful, eh? How? Not only that, but how shall I put thee among the children and give thee the pleasant land? How? It's important. Some people need and know that it has to happen, but tell me how it happened in your life. Tell me how it happened. Can you? Now, how shall I put thee among the children? And the fruit will be there, for thou wilt say and call me my father. And then after that, and that's the last, evangelical repentance will occur. And I said it to you before, that the fruit of grace is evangelical repentance. When the prodigal went back to his father, every place where he sinned, he cried. And he came weeping and crying. And Christ took away his tears. The Father loved him eternally in Christ. And congregation, that's the whole secret. Truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord is our God, in the Lord our God, is the salvation of Israel. Wonderful, eh? Not by, that too, but in, outside of me, in Christ, is my salvation. That's the confession, ultimately, and the glory of the Savior. Congregation, I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. It's a promise. You shouldn't count and say one of a city and two of a family. But it gives the assurance that God will do what he promises. Even one of a city, if he has chosen him. Or two of a tribe. You shouldn't count, some people count today and say, if it's only one of a city and two of a family, I have no chance. It has nothing to do with chance. It's assurance. Even is only one of a city, I'll bring him and two of a family. Be assured. I bring them to Zion, the mount of redemption. How? I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, not to your heart. You know that in Ephesians it said that the gifts of the resurrected and heavenly Christ are office bearers, pastors, evangelists, prophets. God will give his church pastors to his own heart, which he loves, which he will send fruitful in the ministry. I will give you, sometimes not desired or rejected even, but I'll give you pastors according to my heart, my purpose, my glory. In congregation, those pastors, by preaching, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Bible is a riddle. No, Pastor. Yes. It was a riddle for the Pharisees. It was a riddle for the man of Ethiopia, the eunuch. He couldn't understand it. For many people today, it's a closed book, not understandable. Now let's give an issue in line of what happened this morning. Why is the law given? Now, in the world, to obey. Isn't it? In the Bible, to convict. That you didn't obey. Or, going a bit further, Calvin says, the law is given with the eye upon Jesus, who will fulfill it. That's strange. All the duties in the scripture have only one purpose: to convict, to bring you to the knowledge of Christ. As a teacher, as a pedagogos, who fulfilled every dot and comma. But also the gospel. The gospel must be revealed, Christ in the gospel. The Pharisees lacked the key of knowledge. And what's the key of knowledge of the scriptures? It's Christ and him crucified. The Pharisees lacked that knowledge. And by nature, man lacks that knowledge. Luther says, the Bible should be explained, was Christum treibet. Now that's German. Was Christ pushes forward. If you have heard a nice sermon, but not a single moment the name of Christ, you have heard nothing. These are the pages who testify with me. The Lamb of God, there it starts in Genesis and it ends in Revelations. Guilty made guilty for guilty ones to set them free from bondage and bring them back into the union and communion with God. If that's not the key of understanding, the Pharisees lost it. They thought, now, even the eunuch said, is he a spoken of a man or a prophet? And then Philip started to preach Christ. The key of understanding. Christ and him crucified. Christ and his righteousness, congregation. Now, God will give that understanding by the application of his Spirit. Now, some people say to me, Pastor, Christ has to be revealed to you. Yes. Absolutely. I have an elder. And he said, Pastor, I remember the day when I heard for the first time the name Jesus and his salvation. I had heard it for 20 years and never heard it. But I saw his beauty, his righteousness for the first time. Yeah, but Pastor, it's revealed in the scriptures. Yeah. But it's hidden for the unbeliever. The gospel of peace. And it's revealed to his people. Christ and his righteousness. A young man, you might have sit among the sermons for 20 years, 15, and never heard the gospel. Never touched your heart. Never broke you down. Never glorified Christ. But listen, he might be an old sinner. And he says, Pastor, I'm a stranger to what's God and my own soul. Listen, I will send you pastors according to my heart. And they'll give you knowledge and understanding. Knowledge of self, knowledge of God. And knowledge of Christ, to know him is eternal life. You've had such pastors, the past, Reverend Lemaine, and others, in the which he sat and heard the sound of the gospel and saw the beauty for a sinful sinner, treacherous and backsliding. The only name given under heaven to be saved. Now, I'll tell you, if you have some of that knowledge, your life changes. We'll be renewed. The glory of the world will be darkened. And the star of righteousness will shine upon you. Yeah, but Pastor, there sits someone in our midst, he said, but I can't reach to it. It's too far for me. Listen, and he will give you, by the influence and power of his Spirit, knowledge and understanding. Don't be desperate. Open thy mouth, and I'll give you. May I ask you, did you get some understanding? Knowledge of self, and you're desperate to ruin situation, a hopeless sinner. Have you got some knowledge of Christ, the wisdom, righteousness, and total redemption in Christ for all his people? My dear congregation, by preaching, not by doing, by faith, not by working, by grace. How can I be saved? No. faith is by the hearing of the word, and hearing by preaching. And if they are sent by God, they will be fruitful for your salvation and the glory of God. They will preach two things, law and gospel, condemn every flesh and every instance of man, and glorify Christ. In him is all, for nothing. You know it? Pastor, I can't reach to it anymore. Shh! I'll give you knowledge and understanding of him, of yourself, of God yourself, and Christ. Like Calvin starts the Institute. Three things in knowledge: God, self, and Christ, in an orderly way. Now you know the preaching will be blessed. He will multiply. By one sermon, 3,000 people were converted, having the knowledge of self and knowledge of Christ, knowledge of God. One sermon, 3,000 converted. Next few days, another 2,000. By faith. True saving faith. You know, Pastor, tell me how Christ is revealed when you lost your hope. Yourself. When you accept the judgment, you will be set free from judgment. By true repentance and faith, congregation. And they will increase in the land. Now, and they won't remember anymore the Ark of the Covenant. The Jews today want to rebuild the temple. And even some evangelicals say they will. But the Bible says they won't. Even they won't remember it anymore. Christ will bring them the spirit of conversion. God will bring it. What I'm saying is that Christ didn't only fulfill the moral law, but also the ceremonial law. He is the only sacrifice for the sins of his people. Burnt sacrifice, sin sacrifice, thanksgiving sacrifice. He has to pay for your unthankfulness. Thanksgiving sacrifice, sin sacrifice, guilt sacrifice, burnt sacrifice. With one sacrifice, he sanctified his people towards God. So the ceremonial law will be abolished. No, that abrogated, that's better. Not abolished. Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Do you know the difference? There is a difference. Some people say, evangelicals today say you don't have to do anything with the law anymore. That's nonsense. If Christ died unto it, don't you think that you have to do anything with the law anymore? No, you have to. Absolutely. But he fulfilled it. All the figures, all the emblems, all the types, all the sacrifices. I come to do thy will. With my sacrifice, I fulfilled every sacrifice, once and for all, to sanctify my people and to God. Well, congregation, so no ceremonial church anymore. You know what's the only thing that should happen in church? Preaching the word and singing the word. Not new orchestras, or music or theater. No, not anymore. That's world conformity. And I know our young people sometimes, when I listen sometimes to my children's music on the car, and I think, what is going on? But no ceremonial law anymore. You know what's the will of God concerning worship? Preaching the word, instant and out of instant. And our fathers in Dort said, sing in the word, psalms, and no hymns. I talked to Jeff Laurent in Montreal, and he said, what you're doing, I don't know. You might preach the truth, but your songs are liberal and Arminiastic. Do you know how in the Netherlands liberalism came into the church ultimately? By the hymns. By the hymns. By the hymns. Got a foothold in the hearts and the minds of the people. Therefore, our father said in Dort, preach the word, sing the word. Isn't it allowed to sing any hymns at home? Yes, there are good hymns. Gadsby had a bundle of it. But to care for the congregation, you sit, sing the word and preach the word, hear the word. For by hearing is faith. And not the instruments of the devil. You know, Reverend de Kock of the Free Reformed Churches, when he started in 1834, wrote a booklet. He says, hymns are the songs of the devil. You can't say it today anymore, Pastor. No? Probably he's right. Yeah, but you said there are good hymns. I'm not saying yes. You're right. But be careful. Even the Reverend Hamster, now I shouldn't go that far away, eh? But the Reverend Hamster in Dundas said when he had a free congregation there, he said, I even think not all the psalters are sound. Should I touch it or leave it alone? Probably I should touch it. So, God uses his word for the conversion, and he will extend the kingdom. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations shall be gathered. Isaiah 54, the Edens will be gathered into the covenant of grace, all the nations. And they shall be gathered to the name of the Lord. Now the name of the Lord is Christ. They shall be gathered into Christ, the name above all name. To Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem, which is the city of God, spiritually. And they neither shall walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. They will walk according to the scriptures. When Calvin in Geneva had the Reformation, do you know what they said about Geneva? The days of Pentecost are returning into Switzerland. The fear of the Lord was in that city. And they won't walk anymore, guided by the Spirit in the imaginations of their own hearts. What a wonderful promise, congregation, for the people of God. I will guide them, direct them in my ways. And then the next gift. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children? And give thee a pleasant land. If you're a child, you have a heritage and you're an heir. When God forgives you your sins and are gathering you to Christ, the gift of the Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. Our fathers, but it's out of reach today almost, said that the assurance is by receiving the Spirit of adoption to be a child of God. Then we know that we are children of God. And the child of God will say unto God, Father. By that Spirit, we will call. And I'm hesitant, but I should be strong. Father. Abba. There is a lack of assurance in the church because there is a lack of the knowledge of the Spirit of adoption, not again to fear, but that Spirit of liberty. What can I say about it? This. Probably I gave that example already once, but let me do it again. In the north of the United States, the slaves were set free in an early time. New York, and even north more. In the southern states, it was way later. And a lawyer of the southern state made a visit to New York, and he heard that the slaves were set free. Now when he came south, he ordered his one slave, little girl, to his office. He said, come Mary, I want to talk to you. And he said, Mary, I have to say something to you. Today you're free. Your bonds are broken. She started crying. She said, but mister, may I serve thee out of love then? That's not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of liberty, of freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. After you have believed, you are sealed with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit of adoption, with the Spirit of promise. So the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, seals salvation, sets at liberty. Not again to fear, but by which we cry, Abba, Father. And that only by the Son, who merited the Spirit for his people. He says, it's good that I'm going. The other Comforter will come and descend upon you, the Spirit of liberty, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of hope. And I will put them among the children. Congregation, we speak about these things. But I have to say that, especially today, Not many experience these things out of lack of knowledge, not desiring it even. But that Spirit guides in all truth and makes you to walk in His ways and not in the imaginations of your own heart. That's not law, that's love. Faith worketh by love, isn't it? Oh, where is that liberty? Have you ever tasted it? And where is it now? That liberty to love, to fear, with a childlike fear, to walk in the footsteps of the living God. And when you're a child, you are an heir and a co-heir, an heir of God and a co-heir of Christ. And I'll give thee a pleasant land and a goodly heritage of the host of nations. And I said, thou shalt call me my Father. I don't dare, Pastor. And I'll said, you'll call me my Father. I make it. I'll do it. And thou shalt never turn away from me anymore. Is it? Yes, it is. Oh, if there's a lack of knowledge of these things, may God provide it to you. A goodly heritage of a new world and a new heaven of God Himself. My dear congregation, and thou shalt call me Father, no, my Father. That's too light, Pastor. I know. It's what people say. But if God does it, it will. You'll call Him. In the Catechism, knowing God as the Father precedes knowing God in providential care. Look it up in the Catechism before you go to sleep. First, the knowledge of God as Father, and then God as providential caring for His people, turning evil to good, not letting one of His children die of hunger, chastising and loving them. We have a time and age that they believe in God as a God of providence, but the knowledge of God as Father precedes the knowledge of God as protector, a saver, gracious and dear. Why do you say all these things? Ask and it will be given to you. Ask to get that knowledge, not only of self and of Christ, but also of God. You know what the Lord Jesus said when He left His earth? He says, go to my brethren and say, I'm going to my God and your God, my Father and His best. It's too great for me. And your Father. And when He prays with His disciples, He says, our Father, my Father, and your Father, which is in heaven. And if God is your Father, what do you need more than childlike fear and a humble acknowledge of His good dealings with you? But if you have lack of that knowledge, oh, it might be given to you in the way of true conversion and the sealing of His Spirit today, congregation. And then the fruit of that grace. And I've said it before unto you, but it's hard. The fruit of grace is evangelical repentance. Not legal repentance. Legal repentance is a fruit of fear. Evangelical repentance is a fruit of grace and faith. Do you know what it is? How nearer you are to God, how more broken your heart is. For all the blessings bestowed upon you, and you're not worthy of any of the blessings anymore. The more you're broken down, the more you're esteeming His grace and knowledge, the glory of Christ. And therefore, in the Lord's Day 33, what's true conversion? It's in the third part of the catechism. As a fruit of thankfulness. That's the dying to self and the living to righteousness. Or unto God. Now how do you die to self? With a sorrow. Luther said, and he's right, a true child of God has a life of repentance. And otherwise you're not a child of God. But evangelical. I told you before that one of the members of my congregation in the first congregation was a liberal man. And now let's give the example anew. But he was always to bring liberty or liberals into the consistory. It was his purpose. And one day he came to me and he said, Pastor, I want to do confession of faith. I said, Lord, what's going on? But I believed God had a work in his heart. So I accepted him. And God had a work in his heart. He was always making fun on weddings, playing the joker, or what can I say, I don't know the word for it. But one day he came to me and he said, Pastor, I had to go to a reception in one of the rooms where I pleased the people with sins. When I opened the knock of the door, I started crying. For what I did. And I took the knob of the door, closed the door, and ran away. That's sanctification. If God sanctifies your life, you will hate sin. Have a divine or godly sorrow unto God. You know what's crying about the sins of your youth, the sins of your ministry, sins of your father and mother's being. May I ask you, are you sinners crying unto God still? When you look back, I'm almost 69 and when I look back to my ministry, to my fatherhood, to my youth, I will let them weep on every hill on which they sinned. I will make them to hate sin, not out of fear, but out of evangelical repentance so much good for such an evil one. Can you understand me? And they say, oh, Pastor, you shouldn't touch the feelings. Now, if I can't touch the feelings, I don't touch nothing. I don't touch anything, I mean. Man is not only mind. In the Enlightenment, people said man is only mind. Now we turn a bit. It's not only an intellectual quotient, but also an emotional. They know it today. They forsook it a long while in the society, in psychology. They should turn again. For emotions, emotions, motions is movement. Emotions move you. Without emotions, you're sitting as a dead sinner on the table. But if love is put out in your heart, you start crying, hating sin, loving righteousness. But you can be sometimes so hard as a rock, isn't it? You have had better times. There were times in your life when you went to church, God broke your heart, and you loved him and said, I'll never sin again. But how is it now today? Is your heart callous? You've hurt it too much. You went back to your old-fashioned friend, did you? You should repent, oh, backsliding children, turn unto me, for I'll heal your backslidings, and I'll save you. Oh, but Pastor, I've never had a broken heart. He might give it today. Oh, old sinner, so many good things and blessings for such a ruined one. Do you know what I want to do sometimes? Creep in a corner, hide my faith, and say, Lord, have mercy upon me that I'm conformed to the world so much and forsook my first love. And I will make them weep on every mountain on which they sinned. And therefore, the confession of faith is made by the church. Truly in vain is the salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord, not in me, is my salvation. And the word salvation in it is Jesus, Yeshua. It's Teshua here. In the Lord is my Jesus, my salvation. Not in me anymore, but outside of me, for he loved me with an eternal love that I should love him and walk in his ways. Congregations, do you know what I hope? This church might be a valley of tears, not only for the knowledge of sins, but also for the knowledge of Christ. And when you're going home, he will weep away your tears for your sins and say, come, all things will be new. We're leaving, and you must leave once. How will you leave? As a weeping sinner? Or are you hardened today by hearing newly the gospel preach Christ into you? There's only one of two. You're hardened or broken. Humbled or resistant. May God bless his word. For a hopeless sinner who is today so much conformed to the world, forsaken the first love. Oh, turn unto me, ye backsliding people, and I will heal your backslidings. May God bless his word, and that the Spirit may apply it to us all. What would that be a wonder? For in that, sorrow is love, is desire, is hope, is a future. To be with God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, all these things are worked by thy Spirit. For in thee is salvation, not in us. And by thee is salvation, by thy Spirit to apply the gospel to thy people. The righteousness of Christ to set them free, to mourn, to live unto thee, to die unto self. Lord, we are just, what do we know? What a wonder would it be if we know a little bit of it. But that little bit would be so great, God. Bless this congregation. Break the hearts of the young people and the older ones, that love might reign, and the lowest is the highest, and the weakest is the strongest. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.